Hi, this is Mike Miller.
And Paulette Miller.
And you're listening to The Harmony Street Show on Boston Internet Radio. www.bostoninternetradio.com.
Seated so close to you on a crowded subway car.
Dip, dip, whip.
Ooh. Afraid to touch your hand. You seem so very far. Don't even know your name.
Just for now, I'll call you my Lorraine.
The train come to a stop. You get up and you leave. I like the way you walk. You move with ease. Don't even know your name.
Just for now, I'll call you my Lorraine.
Sun by day, and your eyes are like the moon by night. Well, I don't even know your name, but just for now, I'll call you my Lorraine. I was holding you so tight. Don't even know your name.
Just for now, I'll call you my Lorraine.
Well, I knew someday you'd come my way. Well, it happened, it happened today. I knew somehow that you would smile. It happened, it happened today. I told everybody that I had your heart. They said we would fall apart. Today you said you love just me. Now I'm as happy as I can be. I knew someday you'd come my way. Well, it happened, it happened today.
I knew it, I said so. You're here now and in my arms forever. Now that we're together, look for sunny weather right now.
I told everybody that I had your heart. They said we would fall apart. Today you said you love just me. Now I'm as happy as I can be. I knew someday you'd come my way. Well, it happened, it happened today. I knew somehow that you would smile. Will it happen? Will it happen today? And I told everybody that I had your heart. Well, they said we would fall apart. Today you said you loved just me. Now I'm as happy as I can be. I knew someday you'd come my way. And you love me, come what may. Today.
You're on the Harmony Street Show with my good friend, Mike Miller.
Walking down that lonely road, lonely as can be. Walking down that lonely road, just me and my memories.
Hi, you're on the Harmony Street Show. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm here with my wife, Paulette. I'm here with Joe Neary from George Galfo's Mystics, who I sang with for so many years. He was my singing buddy. How you doing, Joey?
I'm doing fine, and you?
I'm doing fine as well. And you're listening right now to my special guest, Mr. Jimmy Gallagher from The Passions. This is Lonely Road. Let's listen for a minute.
Okay. Blue.
I hear a lot of violins, Jimmy, and a lot of bells.
In the car.
I was one of the recordings that I kind of liked because it was a novelty type thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you hear Tony and I doing the harmony section in the bridge. And that's Tony on the top tenor.
Very cool.
Very sweet voice.
Yeah. Well, I got a story about that. I said about a few weeks ago on the air, I said Jimmy Gallagher's voice was so sweet that he really he doesn't put sugar in his coffee, he just puts a little pinky in it.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I do.
Sweet voice.
Yeah, well, that was the rap on you, Jimmy. That you
it was the time.
You were the sweetest one, man.
I remember I was 16
when I
started doing the street corner singing, trying to mimic certain groups that I liked, and I guess the my voice at the time was 16.
Right.
So,
okay.
And you know, my
how old is it now?
It's 16. Look at smart Joe Neary.
Well, actually, Marv Kalpin was supposed to be here tonight, and Marv actually was the writer of Just to Be With You and wrote so many tunes, but he couldn't be here. So I know he's listening. It's a shout-out to Marv. Hi, Marv.
Hi, Marv.
How you doing? Kudos, Marv.
Yeah, you're the man. Okay, so, Jimmy, tell us, originally back in Red Hook, Brooklyn, if I remember correctly, and let's see if you remember, there were two groups. There were the Sincere's and the Runarounds, and somehow they merged in between playing pool in Bensonhurst.
Okay. First of all, Red Hook. There were two parts of Red Hook, Point and the Creek.
Uh-huh.
So I lived in the Point, which is now near the water.
All right.
The Sincere's and the Runarounds were a Bensonhurst group.
Okay.
From the Mystic neighborhood.
Right.
And
the Hood.
The Hood, right. And prior to the Passions forming, I met with Albie and Louie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Albie and Tony.
Okay.
And we sang together in Bensonhurst.
Gotcha.
And we were looking for a name, and I believe at one time we had the Runarounds because Teddy Randazzo was,
okay,
managing us.
Yeah.
And then we changed the name to the Sincere's.
Right.
And then at the recording studio, which is probably true for a lot of groups that were starting out,
right,
we had to come up with a name to suit the sound that they heard when we recorded the song, because
right,
they had no idea how it was going to come
sounds
out.
Sounds good, because Aerosmith wouldn't have cut it at that.
No. They did.
Yeah.
Anyway, we did Just to Be With You, and then we chose the name at the studio, The Passions.
Now, we were talking actually over dinner that Joe DiBenedetto was one of the guys that was hanging out with you guys at that time, and he later formed the Forevers, and they had the tune Be My Girl, because I played that a few days ago, and we were talking about that Four Seasons sound.
There's a lot more history with Joey DiBenedetto with me, because my first group that I sang with was a group called the Palladians.
Oh, okay.
And we were a high school group, and Joey DiBenedetto was with me on that group.
Right.
And his brother Mike had a group called the Debonairs.
Uh-huh.
And I used to listen to them sing in the house, and I was introduced to the harmony, that type of harmony singing, and I heard Gloria for the first time, well, actually for the second time.
Right.
But I never heard the record ever.
No kidding.
Even when I recorded it, I did my own way, and that's the way it came out. But I heard Joey Arena for the Debonairs sing Gloria.
Wow.
With that shaky vibrato and the voice to falsetto, and it freaked me out. So I liked the song, so I kind of like made it one of my own. And when I recorded it, then I found out the Cadillacs did it. So it's like nobody believes.
And they found out that you did it.
Well, that's I like their version.
And then everybody did it, but we're not going to make you wait. Here's Just to Be With You. The Passions were born in 1958 and went like this.
That's true. I never did hear this. I wish I did.
Let's just listen for a minute. One of my favorite tunes.
Marvin, I wished he would have written another song like this for us.
It's
a beauty. The words were nice. There is no actual bridge in this song. It modulates from in three different keys. It never stops and does a bridge.
No, that's true. It's a song without a bridge.
That's right. It's a bridgeless song.
And it doesn't have an introduction either, does it?
The guitar.
Oh, okay.
And a glockenspiel, I think.
So tell me something. At that time in Bensonhurst, like so many groups came out of that nucleus. I understand the Mystics were very instrumental. The Mystics were instrumental in introducing the Passions to Jimmy Gribble at that time, right?
Exactly. The Mystics were established as a group. And Tony and Albie knew them in the neighborhood.
Right.
And it was sort of like a community. Everybody went to the park and sang, and just like we did in the subways and everything else. And the Mystics naturally got a break with Laurie and Jim Gribble, and they did Hush Abye. And they brought the Passions up to meet the Jim Gribble, and we were fortunate to catch a song pretty quick.
Wow.
And it was like hooking a fish because everybody's bringing music in, everybody's grabbing it.
Unbelievable.
And so we were lucky. For instance, I had the opportunity to record Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Polka Dot Bikini.
Wow.
And it just wasn't me.
Oh,
but I wished it was because it was a big song.
I have a
real song?
Huh?
Yeah. Is it a real song on wax?
Brian Hyland.
No, yours. Did yours actually get...
No, I didn't record it. I had the song.
It
was given to me to record, so...
It would have been a collector's item if he did it.
A very interesting question about the Mystics at that time. Now, early on with the Mystics, was George Galfo as sexy as he is now?
Yeah.
He was
shy, too.
He was very shy, George?
Very shy.
No kidding.
Shy.
George is still a little shy, you know.
Yeah. Bobby Ferrante, there was the Crack Lisi brothers, and Ali Contrera, and Georgie Galfo.
And what's interesting is that we're talking about doo-wop royalty. We're talking about groups from Brooklyn that went on to have million-selling hits. So Jimmy Gribble brought you to Saul Winkler, and from that he was had Oticon Records, if I remember.
Well, I guess... I wasn't too privy to the business of the music at the time, and being wanting to make a record was probably the ultimate achievement when we were kids. But when I met Saul Winkler and Oticon, I said, it's a label, I was excited about that, and so we had the opportunity. I think they had one other record on it. It was a flute thing, and we were 101, I think.
Right.
But there was they had one other song that made some noise.
Because you try to tell people that, even young kids now, that, signing the record contract is the beginning of something. It's not the end of something. You're young and you get all excited and say, oh, man, we got a record contract. Well, that's the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now let's see what's going to happen from that, because a lot of times you cut it, and even though it's a great tune, they put it on the shelf and tempos change and politics and all of that stuff. Just a little background, just to be with you. Marv Kalfin... actually wrote Just to Be With You, and very interestingly, we have the original demo from that song, and I'm going to play it, and while we're playing it, we're going to tell you who the actual singers were on this recording. It'll sound familiar, but just a little bit different.
Just to be needed you just to be with you. There is nothing I wouldn't do just to be.
There was a guy in those days that was actually signed to Lori Records, and he actually did a couple of sides with the Mystics for a while. It's one of them, the name of Jerry Landis. And you people know him as Paul Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And actually on this recording is Paul Simon and Carole King.
Right. And they were called the Cousins at the time.
Isn't that amazing?
A lot of people did that, though. They went around to the studios and waxed a song that an artist, that a writer would put into
right.
music and words. So they had something to carry around to the different managers or hangouts.
They tuck it under their arm and they bring it to the Brill Building and they'd stop on every floor and say, here it is, here it is, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually someone would say, we like it, and someone else would say, we don't like it, and... you know, and so it goes, and then you get lucky. But the Passions got a little lucky. But once they had their luck, they took their talent and they sailed with it.
Well, we had a good time. We were very fortunate with Just to Be with You, because the producer for the Dick Clark Show happened to catch our performance on the Clay Cole Show in Channel 11 in New York.
Oh, yeah, I remember Clay Cole very well.
She called up Jim Gribble, and she says, I'd like to have the group Passions on the Saturday Night Little Theater show at the club.
I remember.
So Gribble turned around immediately and says, you have the wrong group.
Uh-huh.
You mean the Mystics.
Uh-huh.
She said, no, I mean the Passions.
Wow.
She says, I saw them on Channel 11. I want it. No, we didn't even have a hit record. Uh-huh. It was just released, basically. You know? So that thing made a little noise for us.
It's funny. I got a phone call from Mike Palladino, who's a good friend. He was the bass for the Bon Airs, and he's the one that has on the net the doo-wop jukebox, and he's got so many tunes on there. And he said, ask Jimmy if he remembers the Bon Airs walking down the hall outside of Jimmy Gribble's office, and they were singing in the hallway, and you guys stopped to listen, and they said, oh, my goodness, that's the Passions. And we're the Bon Airs, so they said they turned it on a little extra when they saw you guys walking towards them because, oh my goodness, it was the Passions in those days.
And I said, wow, that was the Bon Airs.
Yeah, right. Well, wow. he said,
a good sounding group.
Yeah, he said, ask Jimmy and see if he remembers that, the flip side, actually, of Just to Be with You was Oh Melancholy Me.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the A side, believe it or not, because we were looking for an up tempo tune, so. We're looking for something up-tempo, but when we recorded it, actually, after the recording session, the proof is in the pudding, and when it comes out, that's what you want to judge the artist by. So.
Okay, so we're going to play Oh Melancholy Me. Oh, it's a happy tune.
Yeah, I want to get up and bond dance here.
So it was a great ride for the Passions, and you guys, you did it all. Alan Freed, the Brooklyn Fox, Murray the K, the Paramount, American Bandstand, Palisades Park, national tour, right? Dion?
Oh, yeah. We did the winter tour the year after the Buddy Holly. Big Bopper, the very next year.
Yep.
And that was a thrill to me because a couple of fans came up to us and said, how do you feel being here the year after what happened? And I said, wow. I said, it's more traumatic now to look back than it actually was then.
I was a young kid.
I didn't know. But when I think back about that, it was quite an experience.
Do you realize we wouldn't be doing this interview? We would not have had Italian food if you had been on that plane.
If I was on the first one, I'd be famous.
That's right. You would have been immortalized. But so now on that tour, from what I understand, were the Isleys, Chubby Checker, the Skyliners, the Mystics. That was a heck of a lineup.
Oh, the Wheels.
The Wheels.
Clap your hands.
Oh, sure.
And, I remember distinctly backstage, one of the Wheels, Jimmy Beaumont. I don't remember that distinctly. One of the Isley Brothers, and I believe one of the Heartbeats, and I don't know if they were on the show or not, but I can swear it was there. And we jammed backstage.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy does a mean bass.
No kidding.
He's crazy, incredible. Wow. And we had fun doing that, and that's my memories of being 17. Remember Jimmy came running in with his new record. It was Lorraine from Spain on Calico.
Right.
And he's so excited because he liked
the
songs.
Calico, that was the Skyliners were on Calico,
exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, but I look back at it, and it was, I was more excited about meeting the other artists that I idolized.
Yeah, they were excited about you.
No, yeah. Well, Jimmy's still a good friend of mine, so.
Yeah, you know, we're good friends, Jimmy, you know, and you know, we spent a lot of time together. We've done some things together and whatever.
Is
but
there
still,
a question coming?
But
that
still, no, it's just going to be a statement. You know, I still sometimes pinch myself and I say, it's Jimmy Gallagher.
Ah.
You know, I used to listen to Jimmy, you know, and I used to go, oh wow, it's Jimmy Gallagher and the Passions.
Really?
So, you know, and what's really funny is that I think about you, I think about Jimmy Beaumont, and I think about like certain people in his business, and you talk to them and they go, oh really? I said, do you realize how many people just like loved your music and made out to your music and played your music and wore the grooves out? And the answer is usually, really? You mean it? I mean, but that's the way
it
was.
I'm kind of mad because I was too busy singing and not doing the making out. That's real. Now, it is, it's becoming a truism to me now because when I was in New York recently, I came up to the theater we were performing at.
Yep.
And as we pulled up to the parking lot,
right,
a bunch of people came over to me I didn't know what I was up against. I thought they were going to tell me you can't park there.
I don't know.
And they come up with the records. And matter of fact, there's a book out now. I didn't even know the book was out.
Yeah.
It's called, I don't know what it's called. It's one of these record nostalgia books.
Yeah, okay.
And my picture was in there. And I said, well, where's the group? But they singled me out.
Wow.
And it was kind of nice to see that.
T.J. Lubinski and Cousin Brucey put you in the foreword of the book, you know, and mentioned
you.
And
Doo-Wop.
Yeah,
Wops,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's big time. I'm getting itchy to play I Only Want You. 1959.
Good street corner song. Kids just like to harmonize to this one.
Oh, yeah.
Kids.
Really?
Yeah.
So you know this is not somebody who lives in Boca, because anybody that says I don't care for gold.
It's got to be New Yorkers. I only want you.
Very good.
Chew. not a Boca tune.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was petrified when I did these recordings. I can remember.
Really?
Well, yeah, you know, it was I was still in high school. You know?
Unbelievable.
And the record Just to Be With You came out.
Yeah.
And my teacher said, the physics class, I took physics, and he said, Master Gallagher, he said, would you please leave the classroom a few minutes earlier?
Your record's on.
No, he says, because look at the window, and I looked over and all the fans were outside.
No
wow.
Kidding.
I didn't even know the record was that big, because we were traveling and stuff, so we had to let me into my classroom so that the other students can get out, and I said, wow, I made it. But, you know. But it was a nice feeling, I'll tell you, to have your fellow students and classmates appreciate what you did and all that.
Unbelievable.
And I remember the first thing that I noticed, and I went to a school called Manual Training High School.
Oh, no kidding.
That became John Jay.
Oh, John Jay, yeah, of course.
And there was a group called the Brooktones. Cute and Collegiate was the name of the song. And I was so excited because I saw these two girls coming to school every day, and they made a record, you know. So everybody said, wow, they're recording stars. And I wasn't even singing that. So I think it was more incentive to sing on the street corner outside of Manual Training High School.
But, you know, it doesn't matter who you sing to. It's about the song and being in the middle of the song and hitting it right, having the audience accept it. And, you know, it's always about the music. You know?
Yeah.
So how was it working with Dick Clark?
Very nice, actually. Yeah. When we did the Saturday night show, we got there early in the morning for an introduction. And he was very nice. I mean, there was no, you know, he wasn't hiding off in his office and I'll be with you in a moment. He was right out there with us.
Oh, no kidding.
We had coffee and donuts and whatever. Then they explained to us what we were going to do.
Right.
And then they took us down to a costume studio.
Right.
And measured us for our outfits and all that.
Wow.
They told us we were going to wear. We had no choice.
No kidding.
It was a theme that they set up. And then we came back, and they gave us a little location standing with the X, stay on the X, and
right.
don't wander too far outside right. the circle and all that. This is all new to me. Then we did a dress rehearsal
right.
of, you know, what we were going to physically do.
Beach nut gum.
Yeah, right. Don't even go there.
Flavorific.
And then we came back with the outfits on and made sure they looked good and all, and we had makeup. So it was an all-day affair.
Oh, wow.
And then when we did the actual televising of
right.
the performance of the show, we did two of them.
Ah.
We did one for the live audience with all the kids that came in from American Bandstand.
Oh,
and,
no
and then they went hot on,
wow.
on the air. So
I
never did find out why they did that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe filming it, or I don't know, maybe something to do with the commercials. Who knows? But it was two shows.
Wow.
So it was an all-day and afterwards,
yeah.
they'd pick us up and take us to like Allentown, Pennsylvania, Gene
oh.
K.
Oh.
And they'd have a big sock hop going on.
No
you know? So we're right out of the cars with Neil Sedaka and Conway Twitty,
wow.
the Bulldogs, and a few other.
How much fun is that? Now, see, we're going to have another night, pick another night, have a separate interview just to learn about the Beach Nut Gum story. I'm sure there's a story. You know. Okay.
There is.
All right. We're going to play This Is My Love, and this is the sweet, sweet falsetto of Jimmy Gallagher. You know, Jimmy, tell me about This Is My Love.
Well, This Is My Love was written by Billy Doyle Smith.
Uh-huh.
He wrote a few songs. I think he wrote for the Quests and a few other artists. I keep in touch with Billy still. He's a good friend of the Harp Tones, so they...
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So once in a while, when I talk to Ralph Cedar, he might even be at Ralph's house up in Harlem there. So, well, we keep in touch, and he wrote This Is My Love. And interesting thing, in the studio where we were doing it, if you listen to the beginning of it,
yeah,
I have a tendency of emphasizing the sweeter part of it. This is why it became so sweet at the end instead of This Is My Love by some people.
Uh-huh.
And the reason was because, naturally, being a New Yorker, Brooklyn boy, I should say. My expression was sweeter than.
Uh-huh.
I remember Jim Gribble looking at me. He said, "Son, it's sweeter than." Not
sweeter.
Sweeter than.
Yeah.
I kind of emphasized it a little bit.
Well, the one thing I remember when I did have a vocal coach for a while, she used to say to me, always end your consonants and put the T on it, you know, and the D on it, just like Sinatra did. And you know how doo-wop tends to get a little sloppy sometimes,
oh, yeah.
you know, because guys, you know, it really is like a slang language, you know?
Oh, sure. You know, but that was the street stuff, and that's what we, that's why I made it so what it was, you know, because it's like the kids doing rap today. It's they're street music.
I always used to kid George Galfoe on stage because he always sang lullaby instead of lullaby, and I would say, George, it's not lullaby, it's lullaby. He would say, leave me alone.
Don't bother me.
Right. I sing it the way I want to sing it, you know.
Yeah, George is a great guy.
Oh, absolutely. You know, well, you know, you knew George back then. He was from the neighborhood, and I'm sure...
he was a shy mystic.
Oh, yeah, George was the shy mystic, huh?
It was Bobby Ferenti,
right.
George Galfo,
right.
the Crack Lacey brothers,
uh-huh.
and Allie. George was a quiet one. He was, he was the baritone, I think. Or maybe he was second tenor.
Well, Georgia was second tenor, right?
Yeah, second tenor, right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I think George is one of the... George's intonation is great.
Absolutely.
He never, ever varies, you know, from the note. He's like straight as an arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He has an exceptional ear for background harmony.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, he's dead, you know.
No, I know. This Is My Love. What a wonderful song, man. Superior Cruise and Travel is a family-owned business and has been offering wonderful getaways for over 30 years. They specialize in cruises, all-inclusive vacations, discounts on Disney, ski packages, and corporate travel. You can depend on Superior Cruise and Travel for land packages, Las Vegas trips, international airfare, honeymoon packages, and leisure group travel. Superior Cruise and Travel,
1-800-992-8064. www.superiorcruiseandtravel.com.
Okay, you know, Gloria, we're going to save actually for the end. And we're going to touch that at the end because that's really the national anthem of doo-wop. You know? Tell me about Jungle Drums, because if, from what I understand, that was a movie theme at one time also.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know it. Well, I didn't really know that at the time. When I heard the song, they asked us to work on it, and I thought it was a strange song for a street corner group to be doing.
Yeah.
The Passions weren't really a doo-wop group. We were more pop singers, I guess. So pop.
Yeah.
But the song Jungle Drums was on the other side of Gloria, actually. It was a an unusual tune, and we worked the background, we worked the lead on it, and it was kind of a different approach for me, because I was like, from This Is My Love and I Only Want You and Just Be With You, this was like sort of like an out there, and we went into the studio to do it, and we needed a real strong bass in there.
Something, yeah.
Really, you know, really banging on the drums in Africa, and you,
uh-huh.
we had that real mystique, or that real sound of "Watch out, what's going to jump out and get you," you know.
Right.
There was this fellow in the studio, this big black guy. He was his name was Dwight, and we said to him, "Dwight, can you do bass?" And he opened his mouth. He shook the room.
Wow.
And we said, "Would you mind doing it with us?" He said, "Absolutely, I can do that." So if you listen to the song, that's Dwight doing the bass on it.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, so the rules were what?
Louis was a baritone, but Louis could do the bass, but we needed that real, I wouldn't say contra bass, but we needed that real earth-shattering, heavy sound that Dwight gave us on that.
So the rule was, don't say a weemaweh, whatever you do.
What?
A weemaweh.
Weemaweh.
Yeah, that was the Lion Sleeps Tonight thing.
Oh, yeah. We used to sing that as kids in Coney Island.
Do you know that Georgie told me that the Mystics actually recorded a tune called a weemaweh, and then...
They were supposed to do that on an album they would work.
Yep.
I remember, it's funny you brought that up. I remember on Bay 13 in Coney Island, we used to hang out there and jam on weekends. We used to bring a guitar and bongos and just have a grand time, you know?
Right.
And we used to do A Traveling Stranger by Little Anthony.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
Just great stuff we used to do, you know?
Yep.
And Weemaway was one of the songs that we did.
Uh-huh.
And we learned it. I heard the song before, you know, but vaguely. I mean, it was something I remember maybe as a kid.
Right.
Someplace, but the Mystics were doing it. I was at some of the recording sessions, rehearsals at St. Finbar's Hall in Bensonhurst, and I remember they were doing that. And I said, "That's cool, you know." And we used to do it, the Passions.
Uh-huh.
We'd go on the beach, and we'd do the Weemaway thing, and I'd do a floating falsetto and all, which was easy to fit into that song.
Well, you know, I mean, a weemaweh, you know. Well, Brooklyn was a jungle at one point, you know.
Yeah, it still is.
It works, you know.
In a way, you know. But anyway, the song, we didn't have the wherewithal. Took the guy like Jay Siegel to come along and really capture that.
Yeah, well, you know, I said to him, you know, like, it's on so many commercials and with the Lion King and this and that. It's like from that one song, he could make a living on that one song. It's like Billy Joel and Just the Way You Are, you know.
Yeah.
The one song is like, you know, that's it.
It's a novelty. I call it a novelty.
Oh, yeah.
But we did it as a novelty as kids, and we didn't, but I knew the Mystics were going to put that on an album.
Right.
They were talking about putting an album together, and that was the song, Weemaweh, that they were going to put on there.
Uh-huh.
And the song came out.
Wow.
I guess they just decided not to do it, or
never
did the album. I don't know what happened, but that's interesting history on that tune.
Thank God somebody did it. Let's. I'm going to swing over actually, and let's talk about our friend Dion, because you know it's funny when I had Stan Zeska on the show. You know, a lot of the show was dedicated to Dion because, as you know, the Del Satins spent so much time working with Dion, and you know, really gave him an exciting sound. But it must have been a real thrill for you and Joey to work with Dion.
Well, you know, it's funny. Dion, being in the circles with Dion years ago, being associated with my label, and also my label was associated with Worry Records. And I knew the Del Satins back in 59.
Right.
And I knew a lot of groups that, you know, in their infancy or their early stages of creating their music. And I knew Dion then, but not well. But to meet up with him later on, and knowing that the Del Satins did a lot of his background vocals for him.
Yeah.
Joey and I, he was interested in going out on a tour.
Right.
And I said to Joey, I said, I don't know if he want to take us, you know, he's going to be pretty busy out there. And no. He said he wants to have a rehearsal with us and see how far it goes.
Right.
So we went to Dion's house, and Joey and I, and Louis Coletti, his cousin.
Right.
Dion's cousin. We sat around and we jammed, Dion says, I like this sound. He says, it's a good sound. So we went on the road with it. We did a lot of the casinos throughout the country.
Right.
Vegas and various casinos, Foxwood, and we did Tramps in the Village, in New York City.
Well, you were on New Masters and Déjeuner. The song that actually we're choosing to play tonight is one that's not usually heard on the air. It's In New York City. And we're gonna play that now. Tell me how.
Dion did a lot of his latest stuff. He wrote a lot of his stuff, and he's always a great writer.
Right.
But when he did In New York City, I think, and I'm not sure about this. I mean, he'd probably get mad at me if I'm wrong, or maybe not. But I thought he wrote it as an affectionate song toward his wife Susan.
Uh huh.
And Not that he mentions her in there, but it was a romantic song.
Right.
And I loved it when I heard it. You know, a lot of his stuff is great. I
mean, right.
Songs that never really became popular, they should have.
Right.
Some of his stuff is terrific, you know. And
yep.
And even Shoebop, I mean, he did Shoebop. I don't know where he gets these ideas from, but it came out a lot like... not Teenager Love, but Lonely Teenager.
Right, oh yeah.
It was similar to that, you know. But I believe he tributed Bruce Morrow's 40th anniversary with that song.
Oh, no kidding. And he's such a stickler for the harmonies, I know. And you know, I listened carefully, and he changed a couple of the harmonies around, and he said, let's not do it exactly the same way, and let's not be, you know, exactly the same as we were with the Belmonts. I think he changed a few of the harmonies around on a couple of the tunes, you know, just to be, he had a little bit different flavor, and he did a couple of different riffs, you know, whatever, just to make it new, and they were new masters, you know.
Yeah, I know they were. He was good. And he's a very patient guy, too, you know. When
yeah.
he sat around and learned this stuff, he was very tolerant of... he knew what he wanted.
Yeah.
In other words, he knew what... I guess he knew what it was going to sound like.
All right, so we're listening to In New York City by Dion, actually backed up by Joe Neary and Jimmy Gallagher and Louis Coletti. Joe Neary... How was it working with Dion? It must have been like really a thrill to work with D.
Well, when he called me to go to work for him, it was like a dream come true.
Oh yeah.
You know, everybody always idolized Dion, and all of a sudden he thought I was good enough to sing with him. So it was like, you know, great.
Very cool. And you must have had a lot of fun with Jimmy and Louie on the road.
Yeah, we went places like Friar Tuck's and Foxwoods, and we went to Vegas. And
which was your favorite tune amongst the Déjeuner and the New Masters CD? Which do you think was your favorite tune?
Well, you know, everybody talks about Shoebop, and you know, well, the New Masters was just remakes. But
yeah, we're listening to In New York City right now, so
that was probably one of the most favorite songs that I have on that album, because the backgrounds are like, you know, it's kind of, you know, like the old-fashioned harmony, you know, the blow harmony. That's the kind of stuff that I like to do.
Yeah, you know.
When we were singing these songs, he'd always want to experiment. And he'd say, you know, Joe, you know, with your highs and with your floating, he says, go do a little bit of this and give it all you got, you know. And I'd say, like this, Dion, you know. And he'd go, no, more. So I give it what I got and what I thought was right, you know. And he said, yeah, that was good. And then in the playback, it was good.
Well, you know, Joe, you're one of the best tenors in the business. So, I mean, you know, Dion, you know, having you there was a good blend, you know, because Dion is Dion. But I've worked with you for so many years, you know, with George Galfo's Mystics, and standing next to you, you know, and listening to you right next to me, you know, that's been a thrill for me too, because you're one of the best. Your floating false is one of the best in the business. Beautiful Dreamer.
Dreamer. I forgot I did this song, really. That's not me. There it was.
Beautiful dreamer, come back to me.
We used oboes back then. That low.
Oh, those were oboes?
Oboe.
Wow.
That's the first time I ever saw an oboe. You know what I thought it was?
An elbow. Don't tell me.
It was a stovepipe. Oh, yeah. I didn't know what it was. This guy's holding it on his lap with a little stick coming out of it. I'm saying, what's that?
Yeah. Like a bong.
As well as a glockenspiel. I never saw a glockenspiel in my life. I thought it was an Irish drink.
Never mind seeing it. Can you spell it?
Glockenspiel.
Yeah. I can spell oboe easier than
I
can spell
glockenspiel. Is that a German name or is that an Irish name? Right.
No, glockenspiel? I don't know.
That sounds German.
I think it's German.
Glockenspiel is Iranian for oboe.
It's a little Jewish and a little bit of German.
Okay.
I heard that on Bill O'Reilly told me that.
It's funny though. Back when we were in recording sessions, violins could not be recorded and come back and do it. They had to be recorded live. Huh? You couldn't make tracks.
Wow.
Of violins, it was against the union.
Really?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So when we had violins in all our records, like a lot of them, if we had to get it right, because to bring them back, it's a lot of money. So
wow, oh, that's
so
true.
We had to get it right the first time.
I was in a recording session one time. It was at Mayfair Studios in Manhattan. Claire Krebs was the engineer, and I remember the drummer dropped the beat, made a mistake, threw the stick across the room. You could hear it on the record, whatever, and the producer at that time said, we don't have enough time to redo it. It stays. But you could hear the stick go, bling, bling, bling.
Really? Mayfair.
Mayfair Studios.
It was right
over, it was right over the Metropole in Manhattan somewhere.
Wow.
Mayfair Studios.
So I know we recorded at the Great Northern Hotel, which was where the Platters and Brooke Benton recorded.
Yeah. I'm going to move along only because I want to get all this music in, all right?
Okay.
This is One Look. Is all it took.
Oh, okay. This is our first attempt at gospel.
This is gospel.
No, but it was a little fast for me, and I'm a crooner. So I had a hard time with it.
I've never heard a gospel song start like that.
A Baba You?
That was Dwight again, the same session.
Oh, Dwight.
Well, that's it. You know, I have to give the man credit. I wish I knew his last name.
So, Dwight, what are you doing tonight?
So, therefore...
Oh, is that Luther Dixon's cousin?
Luther Dixon's cousin. Therefore, my memory serves me.
Yeah.
When we did Jungle Drums and Gloria, we must have done this and the other same at the same time because, you know, Dwight, a guy like Dwight doesn't come along every day.
But I got a question. Is one take all it took?
Two tooks.
Two takes. Two takes were all it took. One look was all it took.
Actually, I think Just to Be With You took us eight.
Yeah?
Yeah, eight takes.
And, no kidding.
Well, you know, they're always looking for a different sound. Like, being Brooklyn Boys, our diction was way out of sync.
Isn't it funny that sometimes you put one in the can and then all of a sudden the guy will say, give me some more. Give me more background.
Every time.
And then you always go back to the first one or the second one.
And you know what they couldn't do then that they can do now is edit and cut and splice. And so when they had a good take, they would say, that was great. Let's get one more.
More energy.
And then after that, that was terrific, but let's try just one more in case.
And then you were tired.
Yeah. Then you started realizing, I got a better way to do this song.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you start changing it.
Yeah, but a lot of times, now, listen to this. You know, there are a lot of groups, they go to the studio unprepared, and they rehearse it during the first four takes, you know, and they get to know it. And a lot of other groups went in, and they knew it cold,
right.
You know, before they went in, and that was like half the battle. Because if you had to rehearse it on the studio, and you're wasting their time,
studio time is incredible. I remember I was with a group called the Montclairs. These guys were awesome. I mean, I wish they would have made it. And they, I used to sing with them in the studio.
Right.
And they kept one of the tracks on there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they released it or not, but when they beefed the record up a little bit, they needed an extra fill.
Right.
And it might be in there, but I can't swear to it.
See, I made Jimmy eat the cheesecake tonight. We all went out to dinner. So, you know, Jimmy's throat is clearing.
Yeah, I'm a little hoarse.
I got a famous Johnny Maestro story. We were doing Harmony Street and Johnny Maestro. We did 90 minutes and whatever. And Ellen in my group used to bake all the time. She made a cheesecake. And we came out, and Johnny and Freddie were licking their lips and less, and they had cheesecake all over their faces. And they ate the whole cheesecake. And I looked at him. I says, "You ate an entire cheesecake dairy."
Thanks.
Before the show. And he says, coats the throat. That's Johnny Mice. You know, he could eat a whole bowl of pasta and then go out and sing five
minutes
later.
Normally I can, but...
You know, and then what happened was he got up and he crashed and he burned and he went, you know, he walked off stage, whatever, he turned the mic back on. He says, oh, my God, you know. They went to do I Thank the Moon a cappella.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny will kill me if he hears this. And they crashed and they burned, you know, because, you know, Marty gave him the key and whatever, and they went into it. And what happened was... he said something that I thought was very cute, and I used it again. He said, on the street corner in Brooklyn, we always got one do-over. We're using ours now.
Ah, that was nice.
To me, that was really funny.
It's a professional.
Okay, 1961, Made for Lovers. This was the pick hit of the week on Murray K's Record Review Board.
And we did this in Bell Sound Studio. Louis is on this one with us. Vinny had left the group. So
explain to people who Louis is.
Louis Rotondo. He was the fifth passion. It was myself, Albie Gallione.
Because I know Louis's listening to me.
You think so?
Yeah, he told me he's going to listen.
It was Albie, Tony, Vinny,
right.
Tony Armato.
Right.
Vinny Acerno.
Right.
And we had nicknames that I won't tell you what they are. Well,
okay.
You can say them on this radio, but I won't.
Okay.
And myself. And then Vinny left the group.
Right.
And he couldn't travel. He was out for health reasons. So
right.
Since Louie and I grew up together and sang together with a group called the Del Rays, I thought he was the appropriate fill for Vinny. And I turned out to be right.
Right.
They got along great when they met each other. And even though Louie left me standing on the corner of 5th Avenue and 9th Street for 2 hours... We had no cell phones back then, understand. But it was nice. So I'm glad he came.
Oh, yeah. And of course, you got the passion sound. Undeniable.
Who did this part?
Louis.
Did he?
Did he pay you to say that?
No, Louie. You did a good job.
That wasn't Dwight.
It wasn't Dwight.
No, he wasn't around that time. That was Louie. Louie was a bass baritone at the time, so he was excellent. That's me going, by the way.
Now, in case people don't know, for those Jimmy Gallagher fans, Jimmy is back with the Passions after being away from them for a couple of years, and he's performing up in New York and all over the country to rave reviews.
Oh,
everybody's thrilled that Jimmy's back with the Passions, and it's round two.
He's going to let me carry his luggage the next time.
It was actually incredible because when I joined up with them, after we did the TJ show in Elizabeth, New Jersey, two of them were on vacation.
Right.
Out of the country, actually.
Right.
So I said, well, what do we do now, you know? So Louis came, and when I did get back with the Passions, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And when I heard their band,
mm-hmm.
I said, wow, you know, now I can see why they've been playing for so many years. So now we have a terrific band, and everybody sings on the group besides myself. We will have we may try to make it a variety thing, but the passion songs we've been told sound great, and we're getting by with that.
Well, we're going to talk about how people can get to visit the Passions website in a little bit, and right now, because we're kind of winding down to the end, I want to play a tune by Mr. Joe Neary and George Gaffo's Mystics. It's Joe's version of Wonderful Girl. As a matter of fact, I'm doing some background on this, and Georgie Gaffo and Joe.
This one's for you, Dion.
That's right, Dion.
We did this in my studio, and as a matter of fact, I put a little bit of extra reverb on this. Got to make it sound like real late 50s.
You did a good job.
Yeah, thanks.
It's a quality that you can only get from an analog studio, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, that's what we did. Yeah. Right, Joey? Everybody got around the same microphone back in the 50s, and
we did. Yeah.
You had to distance yourself according to the amount of power you had in your voice, like I'm doing now. And the lead usually had to sing with you, so it was quite an operation, staring at each other's. Good job, this is nice, Joey. I like this.
Thank you, Jim.
I never heard it before.
Yeah, this is on the Hushabye Again CD that Collectibles has.
Huh.
Produced and recorded by Mr. Mike Miller and Harmony Street Productions.
Heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of the best cuts on the CD.
I was waiting for Dion to call and congratulate me, but I think I just...
Joey and I toured with Dion for about 7 months, over a period of 7 months.
Yeah.
All the major spots throughout the United States, Vegas, Foxwood.
Remember, what do you call it, up in the Catskills?
Friar Tux.
Friar Tux, yeah.
Friar Tux, yeah. Hey, Friar Tux also had a place on 3rd Avenue in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Same guys.
Well, Dion had...
That was Frank Jr. and the boys.
We had a big bus, didn't we? A large purple...
That was Hootie and the Blowfish's bus.
Hootie and Blowfish's bus, yeah. This thing was so big, we bottomed out going over the driveway of the Friar Tux.
Wonderful girl.
Got to do it live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a great time touring with him.
Yeah.
Dion, we learned a lot from him, too.
Featured in Vogue, Allure, New Beauty, and Oprah magazines, the Sanctuary Medical Aesthetic Center is led by world-renowned plastic surgeons Jason Posner and Kurt Wagner. They offer the most modern plastic surgery techniques, laser and body treatments, skin and anti-aging therapy, permanent makeup, and weight management. Book by August 15th and take advantage of a 15% summer discount on Botox, laser, and cosmetic fillers. 561-866-0970. The Sanctuary Medical Aesthetic Center. www.smacboca.com.
So what do you think, Jimmy?
What? Are we on?
Did you have fun with the Passions?
Oh, yeah. Are we still on?
Gloria.
There it is.
That's what everyone's waiting for.
We're going to go out with Gloria. How can people reach the Passions, Jimmy? I think it's the Passions Music. The Passions Music at yahoo.com.
Yeah, is that what it is?
That's what it is, Jimmy. I know you never get a chance to write yourself.
It's new to me, that's why.
The Passions Music at yahoo.com.
I got a card.
If you want to talk to Jimmy, I'm not giving phone numbers.
All right. Hey, listen.
You know, the Passions, the new Passions, Albie Gallione, original Passion, Len Terry.
Len's all right.
And there's Eddie.
Eddie Rezonica. You know, we never got a chance to mention them, but Eddie was with Jay Siegel's Tokens.
We saw Eddie with Jay a few months ago.
But he was with the Passions for many, many years.
Yep.
Of course, he had a band, in which he still does have a band. He has a band called Ragdoll, and used to be Rapid Transit. So the combination of the Passions and that group was a good mix, actually. Len Terry is a music master. He can write charts.
Oh yeah,
plays many, many instruments. And I mentioned it to you. I don't want to get to his personal life.
I just want to say, because we're winding down to the bottom, I want to thank Jimmy Gallagher, one of my heroes. Doo-Wop royalty. I want to thank Joe Neary, who's my good friend. I sang with him for years. He will remain my good friend for the rest of my life. Thank you, Paulette, my sweetheart. Thank you, Liz, for coming down. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you, Chad.
You're listening to the Harmony Street Show. You can email me at harmonystreet@yahoo.com. This is Mike Miller. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Open up your heart, recall.